Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Wow, what a significant weekend. You know, regardless of what you think about what Easter is, Easter is just the perfect opportunity to talk about Jesus. So if that's okay, I want to talk about Jesus tonight. Easter is what you make of it. It can be a weekend of binging on chocolate eggs and hot cross buns. How many of you have been binging on chocolate eggs, hot cross buns? In my family, we do curry and rice for Easter. All day, every day, curry and rice. You can join my family anytime you want. Some of this is a pagan celebration. For me, it's an opportunity to talk about the powerful message of Jesus Christ. The Easter message is the gospel message. And you need to understand tonight that the Christian faith is pretty much what Jesus did on the cross, and that he died for us, but it's also the fact that he rose again for us. It's the twofold power of this Easter message that is so powerful. And on Friday night across all our campuses, we talked about what Jesus did for us on the cross. But I don't know if you know that that's just one half of the power of the Easter account. That Jesus also rose again once and for all, for us all, for all humanity. And this is the great thing about Christianity. It's a great thing about the power of the Easter message. There is nothing that you need to do religiously or by religious work or by doing some kind of ritual to access the power of Christ crucified and Christ resurrected, except to believe and to receive. And that is a good deal. That is a good deal. World religions tell you that you need to measure up to God, but my faith tells me that God measured down to me. So glad that he did that, because I could have never measured up to him. And so tonight I want to speak to you on the fact that Jesus didn't just die for us, but he also rose again for us. Is that okay? Reading from Matthew chapter 28, who's ready for an Easter Sunday night message? Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. This is the tomb where Jesus' body lay. There was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. How gangster is that angel? Just poof, rolled it, sat on it, like a boss. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him. The guards, the Roman centurions that were guarding the tomb, shook for fear of him and became like dead men. In other words, they pretty much passed out because they were so afraid. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." You're looking for the body of this Jesus who was killed. Verse 6, the most powerful words you'll ever read in the Bible are right here. And it says, "He is not here, for he is risen." I don't think you got that. The angel said, "For he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." In other words, come and have a look. Here, there's no body there. And then the angel says this to the women, "And go quickly, expediently, as fast as you can, and tell all his disciples that he is risen from the dead." The angel knew how to play this out. He knew the news needed to spread like wildfire. And so he told women. He said to them, "Go and tell everybody that Jesus is risen." The reason why he didn't tell dudes is because if he told dudes, Jesus would have risen. 2 weeks later, he would have gone everywhere. They would have gone up to the dudes saying, "Why didn't you tell us Jesus is alive?" They would have said, "Oh, yeah, true, forgot, hey. Oh, yeah. Oh, true, eh?" But he told women, and it spread like wildfire. "And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, the risen Jesus met them. How awesome would that be, seeing the risen Jesus? And he said this, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me again," or more of me. Such a powerful passage. Tonight I want to speak to you from the thought, a resurrection for all. That we are living and experiencing the power of a resurrection that is for all. You don't realize that the crucifixion of Jesus was not the great scandal of the day. the death of Christ was not the big scandal of the day, because how many of you know that every man dies? Every person on the earth dies. The fact that Jesus died on the cross via Roman crucifixion was not the big scandal of the day. There were many men that had been crucified before Jesus, thieves, robbers, people that were criminals. If there was any kind of scandal, the scandal was the fact that an innocent man was put on a cross, even as an outsider looking in. Just if you were just a passerby on Calvary that day, you would have witnessed. And Jesus was he was just hanging on the cross alongside another couple of other guys. It would have just been another public execution. In and of itself was not the scandal of the fact that Jesus died. What was the big deal at the time? What completely rocked not just everyone that was alive in that time, but changed the course of human history forever, was not the fact that Jesus died, but the fact that he rose again after 3 days. This was not a 20-minute, he stopped breathing and he was resuscitated. This was the fact that he was in the grave for 3 days. It had changed the course of human history forever. You see, everybody thought that death had won. The Roman Empire at the time that was ruling over the Jews thought that they'd put away this Jesus once and for all, because they were the rulers over Israel. And here is this self-proclaimed king of the Jews. People called him king of the Jews, and they thought that this guy was stirring up too much trouble. Let's put him on that cross and deal with it. And when Jesus breathed his last breath and said it is finished, they thought that death had won. They dealt once and for all with this troublemaker. But I want to tell you that death did not win that day. The religious people of the day thought that death had won. Jesus had come and preached this amazing gospel of grace to tell people that you don't have to measure up to a God, but God comes and measures down to you to pay a price for your sin, and all you need to do is believe and receive. He was stirring up too much trouble because the Pharisees or the religious people of the day, they wanted to retain control over society. And for them to retain control over society, they needed people to think religiously. But here was this man that stirred up the pot and talked to people about this amazing thing called grace. And so they put him on a tree and nailed him to the cross, and they thought that death had won. But on the third day, death did not win. Everybody that wanted to get rid of Jesus thought that they dealt with this man called Jesus. But I want to submit to you, just as much as Jesus was a man, he was also God. Because every man dies, but only God can rise again after the third day. You need to understand that the cross proved that God was fully man, because all men die. But the empty tomb proved that this man was fully God. The Son of Man died for you and I on the cross, but the Son of God rose again 3 days later. The death proved to us that he was human, but the resurrection proved to us that he was God. The cross proved of his humanity, that God came down to us. But the empty tomb speaks to us today of his divinity, that this man was completely God. And he's undeniably risen. In spite of every first century's authority's attempt to undermine the truth of his resurrection, they simply couldn't stop the news of his resurrection that was spreading like wildfire. Paul writes to the Corinthian church. Paul had never met Jesus before. But he writes this to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Passing down the gospel of the resurrection, he says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received." This is the gospel I received. "That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas," meaning Peter, "and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once." History records that this risen Savior, who was dead for 3 days and now risen again, was actually witnessed by well over 500 people over 12, 13, 14 different separate occasions. They saw and spoke with this risen Savior. The scandal of the first century was not that the early church believed Jesus died, but they believed and witnessed him alive after he was buried. Turn to someone and say, "He is risen. He is risen." This is the power of the complete or the full gospel. You see, after Jesus died, many of us thought that that in itself would change humanity forever, and it did. But a lot of us think that the church comes alive or was birthed after Jesus died. No, it didn't. After Jesus died, all of the disciples actually went back into hiding. They scattered. Some of them were in lockdown. Some of them went back to their old jobs, tried to be incognito, tried to assume or reassume their old identities just to lay low for a little while or for as long as it takes, because the authorities thought that they had dealt with this Jesus, the man, and he is now dead. Now I'm going to go after all his followers and wipe them all out. So they were in lockdown. The church wasn't birthed when Jesus died. What birthed the church and made it come alive was the fact that now he is risen, because everything's changed. Everybody came out of hiding. Ordinary men began to have convictions that were out of this world convictions, because they'd witnessed a man becoming who he said he was, which was a risen Savior. Think about an ordinary fisherman called Peter. Peter followed Jesus. In fact, had a very human moment and denied Christ three times. They put Jesus on the cross and he dies. Peter scatters back, assumes his old identity as Simon, goes back finished fishing, goes back incognito. But when Jesus rises again, he becomes a different man. He preaches, 3,000 people get saved. Come on, are you out there? And they finally arrested him and they nailed him to a cross just like Jesus. And on that cross, they didn't ask Peter to renounce his belief that Jesus died. They asked him, "We need you to renounce the fact that Jesus rose again." To which he said, "I cannot do that. Would you flip me upside down? Because I'm not worthy to die in the same manner as my Savior." And so they flipped the cross upside down, and he died an even more horrific death, because not because he believed that Jesus died, but because he couldn't renounce that Jesus rose again. See, it's the resurrection that changes everything. If you think about ordinary guys like James and Bartholomew and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Simon, they were all martyred, all of these guys. Stephen was stoned to death. Later, Paul was beheaded in Rome, not for, just for the fact that they believed that Jesus died for them, but the fact that Jesus rose again. See, I don't know if you're catching this. The fact that Jesus died for us is just a gospel worth living for. But the fact that Jesus rose again, to these guys, it was a gospel worth dying for. This is the power of the Easter message. That when Jesus said it is finished, it gave us new life. But when he rose again, he gave us power to say, "Ain't nothing you can do to me. I'm going to eternity anyway." It gave us a power to even conquer death first in our own heart. Somebody say amen. Ephesians 1 verse 19, Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. He says this, "I also pray." In other words, of all the things Paul could have prayed for the Ephesian Christians to have, he could have prayed for them to have nice houses. He could have prayed for them to have nice cars. Well, not cars, but maybe chariots. He could have prayed for them to have lots of money or you know, all that, the materialistic stuff. No, he says this, I also pray. Out of all the things I could be praying for you, Christians, I pray this for you, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. If you believe in Jesus, there's power working for your behalf tonight. Come on, are you out there? And Paul says, I pray that you're going to understand this power that is working for you. What is this power? Paul then goes on to describe it. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the power that Paul wants us to have and believe in. That raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. In summary, this is really what the power of the Easter message is all about. I put it in graph form, if you like, because I'm a word picture man. Jesus died on the cross to give us forgiveness. He atoned for us. In other words, he paid a price on our behalf. He granted us mercy undeservingly. We were undeserved of that, and he gave us grace. But wait, there's more. Because 3 days on, he rises from the grave. Gives us an empty tomb. What does the empty tomb give us? It gives us empowerment, power for life and living. It gives us the power to overcome our challenges in life. Come on, are you out there? It actually brands you victorious. If you want to be more than an overcomer, it's because of the fact that we've got an empty tomb. Come on, somebody shout amen. The resurrection, it completely changed humanity forever. You know, the cross makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable because We need to get to a place of great humility to acknowledge our need for a Savior, to acknowledge that we can't of our own accord measure up to God, and so he measures down to us, and that he laid his life down to acknowledge the fact that he has forgiven us, and so we can't save ourselves, so we need Jesus to put us in right standing with him. It kind of takes, it makes us uncomfortable because it requires great humility from us, but the empty tomb makes us feel very uncomfortable, because it forces us to think about what we need to do with our forgiven life. Come on, are you out there? Whilst the cross makes you squirm because it makes you think about the state of your own heart. The cross makes me squirm because it makes me realize just how lazy I am in my faith sometimes. Jesus rose again for me to be an empowered believer. Come on, are you out there to actively live out who He has called me to be? That's the reason why at church there is no crucifix with the Jesus still hanging on there. He was just on there for a few hours. He need not be on there any longer. We have an empty cross. We don't have a tomb either because it's so empty that the angels rolled it and sat down on it saying, dudes, come and have a look. Ain't nobody there. That's what he'd say if he was gangster. But at times as believers, we often live in the period between the death and the resurrection. Can I go a little deeper? I genuinely believe there is something called the gap. The gap. The gap is the time that all the disciples lived in for the 3 days, the state of mind and heart that they had between when they knew Jesus died and between when they heard Jesus rose again. Some of you are going, what is he talking about? I'm about to make it clear for you. The gap is this. As Christians, from speaking to everyone who believes in Jesus tonight, the gap is this. Fully believing that Jesus died for you, but not living like he rose again for you. The gap is the life or the mindset that you have that you're saved, but you're still defeated. That you're forgiven, but you have no power to overcome. That God's mercy is available for you, but it's struggle town all the way until you die and go be with Jesus. The gap is a place where you will sit if all that you do is just receive what Jesus did for you on the cross, but you never have the revelation that he also rose again, and the same power that rose Christ from the dead is also in you. Romans 6 verse 4 says, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Let me make it plain for you, if I can, unpack it for you. It's a little bit like this. If you're trapped in sin, suffering from what that born into sin state your humanity delivers to you as part of life, maybe suffering from depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, a sick body, you're struggling with sin and addiction and habits, and maybe you've been like me, struggling from low self-esteem and identity issues and confusion and all of the things that come with just being human. What do you need every day, and what did Jesus give to you? He gave you the cross. But if you want to have the power to no longer go back to that life, to no longer struggle with those habits, and maybe even to help others live a big life, lay hands on and heal the sick, speak prophetically, words of life to others, bring an atmosphere of faith wherever you go, what do you need and what do you have? An empty tomb. Come on, are you out there? Your first step is to receive what the cross did for you. But from then on, every day of your life, you have access to the power of the same power that rose Christ from the dead. Don't live in the gap. The gap was where Peter and Andrew and all of these guys lived in after they heard that Jesus died. Musicians, you can join me. I want to unpack quickly before we land this thing. And Luke chapter 24 tells us of an account where there were some disciples that had not heard that Jesus was risen again, because this was pre the days of Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. So news didn't travel all that fast. People had to actually physically tell you things. Jesus had already risen again, but these couple of disciples hadn't heard yet. So they're still living like Jesus died for them and no idea that Jesus had risen for them. Let's pick up the story. It says, now behold, two disciples were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. So they're talking about the death of Jesus. So it was while they conversed and reasoned. How many of you know that when there is no power, we're not living an empowered life? All you have is conversation and reasonings. Just talk, and more words. So it was while they conversed and reasoned, while they were talk, conversation, more reasonings, more self-pity, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 16, very important. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another? Two disciples, they were talking. They knew that Jesus had died and forgiven. where to from here? I don't know. Maybe we'll just tough it out. Maybe just wait it out until we die, and then we're going to be in eternity with Jesus. But while we're here on the earth, we don't know how long we're going to live, but we just struggle along, lay low. The authorities are coming to catch us, so let's just be a little bit incognito. I don't know. Will you deny Jesus if they come for you? I don't know. What do you reckon? I don't know, Bartholomew. I might do. I'm not sure. What about you, Andrew? I don't know. To which the risen Savior appears to them. It's one of the 12 or 13 times that he appears to people as a risen Savior. He comes right to that road between Jerusalem and Emmaus as these two guys were reasoning and conversing. And the Bible says, see, these guys walked with Jesus for 3 years, every day. Christ himself appears to them. And the Bible says, because their eyes were restrained, they did not know or recognize him. When you live in the gap, so consumed with your own issues, your struggles, your hurts, your challenges, your own pain, and you don't get out of the gap and ever live in resurrection power, Jesus could be in the room himself and you wouldn't recognize him. To which Jesus looks at these two guys and says, what kind of conversation is this that you're having? You walk and you are sad. What was Jesus saying? I'm preaching all of this to simply pose this question to you this Easter Sunday. What kind of conversations are you having? Because I know that the church that Jesus rose again for is not a church that lives in the gap. The church that Jesus rose again for is a kind of church that steps out of the gap and stops having gap conversations, but starts having the kind of conversations that the angel originally charged the women to have. Go quickly and tell everybody that he is risen, because this resurrection is for all. It's time for us this Easter Sunday to get out of the gap. Come on, are you out there? And start living like he's truly risen, because he's not just dead, but he's alive. And today, the same power that rose Christ from the dead is also in you. Someone holler amen. Come on, would you stand to your feet right across this room? Stand to your feet right across this room. Every eye closed. Right.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.